Sweet. Wow. All right, then. This side definitely more awake than that side. All right. No offense. Just if this side is ready to and set and going already, that's good. Hey, we're getting ready to start a brand new series here at CCW. That's what Ready, Set, Go is all about. We're super pumped about it. We're going to talk about our mission, the mission that God has given us as individuals and as a church, and just really excited. We're actually going to use the book of Acts to go through the Great Commission. So that's what Ready, Set, Go is about, and we'll talk about that in a second. Before I do, though, I just want to, before we jump in, I want to go ahead and just on a very personal note, say thank you to everyone here. last couple weeks, I've been in Georgia the last two Sundays with my mom. Many of you have been praying for her, praying for me and my family, and I super appreciate that. She had some radical heart surgery a couple weeks ago, and it was just incredible what men can do with their hands inside of a person's body. I've never seen anything like it. And the nurses, everybody that's been taking care of her up there, but she's on the road to recovery. She's in her own room now, feeding herself. She's taken more steps than ever yesterday. So just praising God for that. And I have to say that my mom, she was just here about a month ago. She's ready to go to heaven. You know, our prayers, you know, we didn't know which way this was going to go. We just kind of selfishly wanted her around a little bit longer. But the real answer to your prayers was in me and in our family. And as many of you know, the power of prayer happens almost like the supernatural feeling of comfort and support and love. And that's what this family is all about. That's why I love this church and I love you so much. And our staff, I just want to say on behalf of our entire staff and our elders, we have been going through a lot lately. In fact, I think everyone on our staff and a number of our elders have been in the hospital for one reason or another, whether family member or themselves, over the last couple weeks. And like some of you, that's what this whole idea of family is, church. That's what we're here for. And we love you and I thank you for all that. And I was asked a number of times, you know, about coming home, and no doubt about it, after being up there for two Sundays, I missed my wife, number one, 2 weeks away from my wife. It's not healthy for me, so I missed Lisa a lot, missed you guys and my friends and everything back here. It's only been a couple weeks, but it seems like months, 12-hour days in the hospital, but really, man, the thing I missed the most, and whenever somebody asked me, was being in the mix around here, was being in the action, was knowing that the mission of God is happening here with you at CCW. Do you know that? Do you understand that God is at work in you and through you right now? I mean, and to be away from that, even for 2 weeks, it was like, man, I'm missing something. I'm missing out. I'm missing out on baptism. I'm missing out on life change. I'm missing out on people praying for each other and doing things for each other. And there's just an incredible movement of God happening here. And I hope you understand that. Because sometimes being here every day, you know, I kind of take it for granted. And then being away, it's like, I miss it. I miss being with where the action is, where the mission is happening. And it really was kind of cool because as we head into this series, it's just knowing that God really has called us to greater things, to some amazing things. And we just wrapped up our last series called Greater Things. Hopefully you were here for that. We went through the book of Nehemiah, and we talked about Nehemiah, and we talked about some of the greater things that God is up to. And one of the blessings was being able to listen online to Chris Freeman and Linwood Gallier speak the last 2 weeks and wrap up that series. They did an amazing, amazing job preaching those two sermons. I hope you were able to listen to that and wrap up that series. So if you get a chance to encourage, man, just awesome. That's what God is doing. But those greater things, the things that we talked about through Nehemiah, God is doing that. And as we wrapped up Nehemiah, we learned last week that yes, the wall of Jerusalem had been rebuilt, that the people of God had celebrated. They came around God's word. They praised God together, and then they kind of fell back into their own ways. Maybe you remember that. And then God went into this 400 years of silence in the biblical timeline. There's nothing written between the book of Nehemiah and then the first Gospels where we meet Jesus, where he comes to earth. God's son comes to earth. And all those greater things through the Old Testament were pointing to the greatest thing of all, the greatest person of all. And that would be the King of Kings coming to earth in the flesh and living a perfect life among us, doing miracles, teaching great things, doing what only Jesus could do. And not only did he come to earth in the flesh and live a perfect life, but he died on the cross for your sins and mine. And then after being dead for 3 days, Jesus rose again from the grave. And he is alive again and now at the right hand of God. But before he went back to heaven, he taught and he did miracles. He did amazing things. And even after he rose from the dead, he gathered his people around him, his followers around him. And he gave them our greatest mission, the greatest mission of all time. This promise, this command, his last words before leaving earth. And we read them in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Our greatest mission. And I can't help but thinking that Jesus, as he prepared for 3 years to give these words, that as he was about to leave earth, he was just thinking to himself, ready, set, go. Ready, set, go. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Go ahead and turn there in your Bibles. They're also in your sermon notes. If you have your bulletins, go ahead and open those up. You'll find this passage in there. You'll also see it on the screen. And I'm going to ask you to go ahead and stand with me, if you will, as we read these words of Jesus together. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Ready? Set? Go. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and disciples all nations. Yes, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I am with you always to the very end of the age. Is there anything greater than hearing God's people read God's word together? You can be seated. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, our greatest command from Jesus. Now, ready, set, go. Have you heard those words before? Anybody ever use those words in everyday life? I know I was kind of thinking back a little bit to school started this week. I don't know if anybody knows that or not, but yeah, I was going to mention that later, but I can't help but mention it now. How many of y'all were thinking as you're getting your kids ready for school or students, you were getting ready to go back to class, you're like, ready, set, go. And then the alarm went off on Monday and you went, no, sir. That's not happening. I was thinking back to my school days a little bit, and whatever happened to sack races, like field days? Did y'all used to do field days in school? I don't know. When we lived up north, we did them a lot. We moved down to Florida, and it was 150 degrees outside. I think we stopped getting in potato sacks and ready, set, go. Or those three-legged races. You remember those? Do y'all still do that? We still? No, elementary school. No, it was... For us, it was ready, set, fall flat on your face, and wish you'd never done that before. But man, whenever we get ready to start anything important in life, those words kind of resonate with us. Maybe it's starting a job for the first time, or maybe it's going on an adventure or a race, or maybe it's a project that you're getting ready to start. Ready, set, go. It just kind of mentally prepares you for something. No lie, this actually happened last week with my mom as she had been as she came through surgery. And just a couple days in, she was bedridden and she couldn't walk. And for 10 days, mom was stuck in bed. And this happened as on that 10th day, they got her up on the side of the bed and they said, you're going to need to walk today. We need to get you up out of bed. She'd been kind of climbing into a chair and stuff, but she needed to take those steps. Maybe you can relate to this. And the nurses got around her and they brought her up to the side of the bed and they searched for this belt that's called a gait belt. And they were going to help her to get up out of bed with this belt. And they surrounded her. And as they got her to the side of the bed, her eyes got big and I could just see her shaking. And she was scared, terrified, but yet she is really determined to do this. And they got her on the bed and they realized that they weren't just going to be able to see her stand up on her own. So they did this thing, and I remember them using the word rock. They said they were going to rock her 3 times, and on the 3rd time, she would get up on her feet. And guess what they said? Exactly. I'm going to believe it. I'm like, I'm preaching. I'm writing this down. So it was like, but they did it. They said, ready, set. And you'd have 6 inches, I mean, not even 6 inches from the floor. You'd have thought my mom was getting ready to rappel off the back of a cliff for this. But she's ready, set. Okay, no, first try, I swear. I was going to trick y'all and say she didn't go. But she did. Ready, set, go. And she stood right up and shook. And she reached out and grabbed that walker. And I was like, glory. It was like awesome. You know, like this is so great to see my mom standing up. And then she took the step and another step and another step. And then she got wore out and had to go back to bed. But actually, she took about 20 steps, and it was just an amazing thing. But it all started with that whole idea of, I'm getting ready, I'm getting set, mentally preparing, and then going. And it was just awesome to be able to see that. And I got to thinking, just like maybe you are, that when it came to Jesus in Matthew 28, as he was getting his people ready, man, he had for 3 years been getting people ready, get set for this time when he would tell them to go. He got them on the side of the bed. And you want to talk about getting ready. But by the end of these 3 years with these people, his followers had lived with him. They had heard him teach. They had seen him do mighty, mighty miracles that only God could do. They had heard his teaching. They had experienced his love. And getting set, you want to talk about getting set. These people had seen Jesus died and buried in a tomb for 3 days and then came back to life. But when you see a dead man come back to life again, especially after you have seen the other miracles he's done and the teaching he has given, and you see and you know that he is God, you are set. I don't care who you are. And they're ready, they're set. And then you talk about going. With these words in Matthew 28, the gun goes off. It's like, boom, bam. It's time. And Jesus gives them these words, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And then he leaves earth, going, gone. Back to the Father in heaven where he lives today. And Jesus said those words for his followers back then, but he also gives them to us today, everyone who follows Jesus today. These are words worth memorizing. They are words worth living. In fact, they are so important that these words form the mission statement of Christian Church in the Wildwood. This is our mission statement, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This is why we exist. It's why you are here today. So if you thought it was because of the music, or you thought it was because of the family that loves you so much, it all goes back to the greatest mission. That's why we're here. And everything else comes out of that. All authority, Jesus said. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Authority. It's by his authority that we meet. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings, the Savior of us all. And Jesus, by his authority, and he doesn't pull authority much in the New Testament, but he does here. He says, all authority has been given to me, and by that authority, we are to go. To go. And this word go actually means to, as you are going through life, as you're doing daily things, as you are going to do what? Make disciples. We'll talk about disciples in just a minute. To make disciples, and not just to do it here, but to all nations, baptizing them. That's why we have a baptistry here. That's why we know when people come into a relationship with Jesus, they're baptized into Christ. The Bible teaches us that. And Jesus says that's part of our mission, to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And he kind of ties this whole idea of the Trinity together, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. He says teaching them. How important is it that we are teaching, constantly teaching? And I thank God that we're a teaching church because it's part of our mission. But not just teaching to learn, but teaching to do what? Obey. To do what Jesus said to do. To obey his commands. Knowing that he is with us always. To the end of the age. This is a promise from Jesus himself. To multiply and to go as we go to all nations. To know that he is with us. So it is ready. It is set. And it is go time. It is go time for each and every one of us. These are action words. These are imperatives. They are non-negotiable. Get off the side of the bed. Get off the side of the cliff. Jump off the starting line. Head off the trail. Be ready for adventure. These are circle the words, highlight the words, fold your Bibles, find this whenever you need it kind of words. These are words that are tattooed on our... I'm not a tattoo guy, but if I was to have a tattoo somewhere, it would be Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Write them on your hearts. This is our mission in life. Go. Go. Make disciples. Baptize. Teach. Obey. And he is with you. He is with you always to the end of the age. Own this. Know it is for you and for me and for all of us. To be a follower of Jesus, each and every one of us must continue to live the mission of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus, it means you are living for the mission of Jesus. So get ready, get set, and go. You, me, make disciples. Baptize. You, teach, obey. It's the greatest mission of all. And as we look at this mission statement, as we get ready to go into this series, we need to understand the word disciple. Now, hopefully that's nothing new to you. You've heard this. We teach it in our foundations classes. If you're not familiar with the word, this is going to be really cool. But a disciple, as we're going to talk about today and for the next few weeks, a disciple is simply a learner. It's a follower. You've heard that before? A disciple. It's a person who is learning by following a teacher or a leader. And what they learn from that teacher will actually change how they think, right? That's the job of a teacher. And then ultimately change how they live and possibly and probably change the direction or the mission that people have in their life. Think about it. All of us in here have been discipled by somebody. I had the privilege of being discipled by my dad in the area of sports. He not only coached me, but for better or worse, he discipled me to like all the sports teams in Chicago, all right? So thanks, Dad. Appreciate that. We don't win Super Bowls. We just sit around the TV and get depressed. But he discipled me. Maybe for you it was, riding motorcycles or working on cars. Or maybe it was the reason that you became an electrician or a plumber or became a cook or a mom or a dad. It's because somebody taught you along the way and you started to think different and you started to think, wow, this is for me. And it actually changed the mission of your life and you started to do that. Started to become who you are. You see, disciples have teachers and teachers have disciples. As I mentioned earlier, school started. I know that's a pretty cool thing. But I hope that sometime last week you knew that we were praying for you. Parents, students, you're in our prayers. Teachers, thank you. If you are a teacher, an administrator, if you're a public school teacher, a private school teacher, a homeschool mom, dad, whatever, if you teach kids, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you. We are praying for you. This is going to be the best school year ever because you are discipling kids. You're teaching them. And what you're doing is not just punching the clock. You're investing in lives and the way they think and the way they act. And hopefully, as we see these kids grow up, just like you and I, you know, we've hopefully become decent people because of teachers. Thank you for what you do. You're making disciples. But are you disciples of Jesus? What's the difference? Well, to find the answer to that, we go all the way back to the beginning of the book of Matthew to define a biblical disciple of Jesus. See, Matthew 28 is at the end of Matthew where Jesus sends his disciples. Matthew 4 is where he first calls his disciples. We see him calling Peter and Andrew and others in Matthew 4, 19. And he says these words. He says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You see, he's starting to teach already. Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And this is where we get our definition of a disciple. A disciple is someone who is following Jesus. Does that make sense? He says, come follow me. So if you want to know if you're a disciple of Jesus, you are following Jesus and doing what Jesus said to do. You've been baptized into Christ. You are living your life for Jesus. You're following Jesus with your daily decisions. You are a disciple of Jesus if you're following Jesus. And if you're following Jesus, he said, come follow me and I will make you. I will make you into something. What will he make you into? Well, first, let's stop for a second. A disciple is someone who is being changed by Jesus. In fact, I would argue that you can't follow Jesus without being changed by Jesus. If you call yourself a Christ follower and you've seen no change in your life, then you might want to think, am I really following Jesus? You're probably not the same today as you were yesterday just because you're following Jesus. And he says, I will make you, I will make you, I will make you. And he's going to make us into something. What's he make us into? Fishers of men. Fishers of men. In fact, we get this in our definition that a disciple is someone who is on mission for Jesus, and that mission is to become a fisher of men, to make disciples of all nations. So if disciples are someone who are following Jesus, changed by Jesus, and on mission for Jesus. So if today, if any of us call ourselves followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, if he is our leader, our teacher, and our Lord, then these are questions that we must answer. We go through this in our foundations classes. It's pretty cool for me to think about on a daily basis. Fill in your name in the blank. Am I, Joe Caputo, a follower of Jesus? Are you a follower of Jesus? Write your name there. It's in your bulletins if you want to write it physically on your papers. And if not, why not? Because that is the most important question you can ever answer in your life, is what are you going to do about Jesus? Follow Jesus. Am I a follower of Jesus? And the second question is this, am I being changed by Jesus? Am I Joe Caputo being changed by Jesus? Am I in the Word? Am I letting it mold me? Am I letting it make me? Am I letting it change my life on a daily basis? Because it will. And he will. And am I, are you, write your name there. Am I on the mission of Jesus? Who is my life all about today? What is my life all about today? Write your name there, because if your answer is yes, then as disciples of Jesus, your Lord and your teacher, you are ready, you are set, and you are ready to go on the greatest mission of all. The greatest mission you could ever imagine. The greatest mission in life. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about your mission in life. How many of y'all, can you guys remember your first jobs? Anybody can remember their first job ever, their first job? Now, I don't want to talk about my first job. I have blacked it out of my memory. I will tell you that it had something to do with washing dishes in a seafood restaurant. You've never lived until you've done that, and I tend to forget it. But my first favorite job was at McDonald's. Now, what you see on the screen are four name tags, all right? These name tags are places I've worked. Some people say, dude, don't you throw anything away? I go, look, I'm very nostalgic. I'm not a hoarder. I'm nostalgic, all right? So that black name tag is actually my first. They say, I read this on a billboard on the way home from Georgia, that McDonald's is America's best first job. How many of y'all worked at McDonald's in your life, all right? Well, yeah, we're a fraternity, right? All right? Aren't you glad you're still, I don't know. Great first job. I'm digressing. In fact, when I worked at McDonald's was when they came out with the Chicken McNuggets. All right? So it was a couple minutes ago. Yeah, just a couple days ago when I worked there. And then I worked at Chick-fil-A. This was a job after I got in college. I worked at Chick-fil-A. Everybody loves Chick-fil-A. When I was at Chick-fil-A, all the stores were in malls back then. And they invented the waffle fries. And when they first came out, I remember going, no one is ever going to buy French fries shaped like waffles. Nobody wants these things. They're too weird. I kind of wish I had invested stock in Chick-fil-A at that time. I worked at a hardware store, a lumber yard named Scotty's. Maybe you remember Scotty's. Loved that job. It was pretty cool. Learned all about tools and lumber and all that kind of stuff, which translated into this place. Used to be a place called Sears back in the day. I'm teasing. Of course, Sears is still around, I think. But Sears, I love my job at Sears. I worked in the tool department there and the paint department. These were great jobs. They were great places to work. But were they really my life mission? Was this really what I was made to do? Now, no offense to these companies, but even if any of these jobs had been my career path, like many of you, is it really our mission in life? Or is it something bigger than that? Is our life mission something bigger than chicken nuggets and waffle fries and tools? Is it much bigger than making a paycheck, making money? You see, for Peter and Andrew and those men that Jesus first called, we read about them in the Bible. You see, their mission, the mission of Jesus was much bigger than catching fish. That's what they did. And he put them on a mission for their life that was even more important than their own families, more important than their own personal future. And I went back to this mission. You see, Jesus gives his followers a bigger purpose, a bigger mission, work worth everything, work worth our life, worth living for, worth dying for, an eternal mission. And remember, those first disciples, they saw Jesus die and rise again. They knew that he was God, the only person worth following, the only words worth living for. And when he said those words that we just read in Matthew 28, it got them on their mark and it got them set and they were ready to go. And they did go. They went and they changed the world. All of history was changed because of what happened next. And that brings us to the book of Acts. We're going to be studying the book of Acts in our series. I got to point out, this is the fifth book of the New Testament. All right, I said fourth for some reason, because Luke wrote two books in the New Testament. I don't know if you knew this or not, but Luke wrote two books in the New Testament. He wrote the book of Acts, and he wrote the book of Luke. So then I said that Acts was the fourth book of the New Testament, but it's not. It's the fifth, okay? So if you were in first service, say, I'm not as dumb as I look, all right? So do me a favor real quick and thumb to the book of Acts right now, okay? Go ahead and open it up, the book of Acts. It's the fifth book in your New Testament. If you're next to somebody that might not know where it is, help them find it. We're not going to read the whole thing. I just want to show you where it is. So go ahead and open it up. Take a look in there. Because the book of Acts, what we see here is the historical account of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit is actually the star of the book. And the Holy Spirit is leading Jesus' first disciples to live out the mission of Jesus. the book of Acts. So for the next 6 weeks, starting next week, we're going to journey through the book of Acts. We're going to be inspired by these true exciting stories. We're going to be inspired by these men and these women who knew Jesus and modeled our greatest commission right before our eyes in the pages of Scripture. These earliest Christ followers in Acts, they followed Jesus. They were changed by Jesus. They were on mission for Jesus, and they went. They made disciples. They baptized. They taught, and they obeyed. And by his Spirit, Jesus was with them, and they multiplied person at a person at a person at a time. For thousands of years now, we are here because of the great stories that we see in the book of Acts. They multiplied. Here's a few facts about the book of Acts. As I mentioned, it was written by a man named Luke. Luke was a doctor, he was a historian, and he was a traveling partner with the Apostle Paul. Maybe you've heard of the Apostle Paul. Well, they were friends, and we have reason to believe that that Luke wrote Luke and he wrote Acts to help establish what Paul was going to do later on. He wrote to a man named Theophilus. Theophilus was probably a Roman official. And this Roman official that maybe had some influence on whether or not Paul went to prison or not. So all this kind of ties together. You can read about it, and it's pretty cool. But he wrote it sometime after the imprisonment of Paul and before the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. So most scholars put the book of Acts in AD 62 or 63, sometime after Paul was put in prison. There's a lot of history here, a lot of things that happened, a lot of people, a lot of places, a lot of things. Archaeologists go back to these places and they dig up stuff. I mean, all of this is true. It's a great book of history, but it's more than history. What we see when we read the book of Acts is the true story of the Holy Spirit of God fulfilling the mission of Jesus through his early disciples. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we see a verse that kind of captures the theme of the book of Acts. It's actually part of our great mission as well. These were the words of Jesus before he went back to heaven. We'll talk about these next week. Jesus says this, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." Be my witnesses. Circle that. Be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. And that's what happened. That's what happened, and we see it starting in the book of Acts. By the power of the Spirit, we see what people did to become disciples of Jesus. We see over and over how people believed and were baptized into Christ and were saved. We see how they then lived as followers of Jesus, on mission for Jesus. And these early Christ followers then went on to start churches, and they traveled and they spread the message of Christ together to all different people, not just themselves, to all people all over the world. So we hope you won't miss a single Sunday. We hope you'll come back and learn and journey through the book of Acts with us together. And we also hope that you'll take time to study this on your own. To help you out, we've given you some resources in your bulletin. It's also on our website. One of our favorites is markmoore.org. Mark Moore is a New Testament scholar. He offers college-level classes and seminars on the book of Acts. He ministers out in Arizona, but if you go to his website, you won't be disappointed by the teaching there just through the book of Acts. So we encourage you to go there. Also, there's some study guides out at the group life desk that Josh has put together just for this series. It's called Ready, Set, Go. You can pick one of these up for your group, for your family, and jump in and do that with us. And we also want you to go ahead and read through the book of Acts together with us. Acts is 28 chapters long. So if you will read one chapter a day, by the time we're done with this series, you will have read through the entire book of Acts. You can do that on your own, or you can go to YouVersion or one of your Bible apps, and you can find a Bible reading plan to do that with. My favorite one is this. It's called Now is the Time, Acts. It's a 30-day journey through Acts. You can pick this up on YouVersion, and you can go to the website, which is nowacts.com, nowacts.com, and you can do this. There's challenges in there. There's a reading plan for your entire family, for kids as well, so you might want to check that out as we go through Acts together. Ready, set, go. See, God did it then, but we know and we believe that he's also doing it today. He is fulfilling the mission of Jesus right here, right now, in you and in me and in this church and in our community. In fact, when it comes to our greatest mission, God is just getting started. He is just getting moving right now, right here with you and with me. Jesus tells us that we are empowered to go. We're empowered to go and to make disciples, to baptize. Did you know that this morning we just baptized our 50th person into Christ this year? That's incredible. And that's a long way to go, but who is it in your life? Think, man, who would you be in the baptistry with right now? Or maybe that's you. Maybe you're the one waiting to give your life to Jesus once and for all and forever. It's part of this greatest mission to baptize, to teach. Man, I thank God for those of us who are teaching. This is a teaching church. I mentioned that earlier, but right now is the time. Jump into a study group. Jump into a small group. You can get in line, get online and join a group. You can show up here on Wednesday nights. Jump in. Maybe volunteer in the family ministry and begin teaching our kids. To teach, and not just to teach, but to also to obey and to go out and to do what Jesus said and watch the world around you change as you obey the commands of Christ. The great mission, the greatest mission of all. And as we do, we know that he is with us always. We see it in Acts. We see it all through history. And we see it here today as Christ followers in this place and as a church together at CCW. Did you guys bring your bricks with you this week by chance from the series we just ended? Linwood mentioned this last week. Anybody bring their bricks? Maybe. You already dropped them off outside or something? All right. If you have them, hold them up. I just want to see. I'm not real sure. Nobody. I'm so sad right now. Actually, look. Oh, there. See, Sharon, stand up, Sharon. Let's give Sharon a hand for bringing her bricks. All right, you can do that. I know that brick is special because it keeps Mike in line. So you have to bring it with you everywhere you go. Now, we started talking about greater things, and as we started thinking about the greater things God is doing in our lives and doing in our community, and maybe some of the things you wrote on your bricks and prayed over and thought about, we have to know that the greater things God does begins with the greatest mission that God gives us. It's not even about reaching our community and doing good things for people. It's about accomplishing the great mission that God gave us. You know, we pray for people, and we care for our family. Our moms, our dads, our people in our family. We want to reach out and share the gospel with people. We want to serve people. We want to help people because of the great mission. Greater things start with the greatest mission of all, the mission of Jesus. And only by living the great mission of Jesus can greater things be done. So what greater things would you like to see happen in your life? Maybe in the life of our community. Maybe in the things that are going on here at church. What would you ask God to help you get ready, get set, and then go and do today? If you did bring a brick, maybe it's in your car, maybe it's out, maybe you already dropped it off. There's a pallet outside by our mission desk. We're going to go through those. We're going to pray over those. And then eventually we're going to put them out in our courtyard around the offices. Or you can bring them home with you and use them just kind of like me. I kind of want to be able to see it. Maybe put it on my desk or somewhere where you can see it. Bring them home with you. Check them out. But know that our greatest mission will lead us to do greater things. God has given us that mission. And because of that mission, we've got a vision, each and every one of us, and I hope you'll just catch that vision that there is no one outside of the reach of Jesus, and we want everyone to become a Christ follower, everyone within our reach to become a follower of Jesus, a disciple, and for every disciple to become a disciple maker on mission for Jesus, and for every disciple maker to become a kingdom leader, and we are going to see that happen here with us in this place. By living the mission of Jesus in real life ways. So are you ready? Are you ready? It's time to get set. It is time to go. Time to go. Matthew 28, what did Jesus said? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then Jesus said, go. Go do what? Go make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that Jesus is with us? Are you ready? Get set to go. All right, listen, memorize that passage this week. That's your challenge. Memorize it. Some of you already have it down. It'll be easy, but memorize that passage. And then as you memorize it, as you read it, as you go through it this week, think of one way, one thing that you will do. Pray about it. Write it down. And one thing you will do to accomplish the mission of Jesus in your life, the greatest mission of all. All right, let's stand together and let's sing. We're going to sing a song called We Believe. And see, that's really what this is all about. We believe, so we're going to go. We believe, so we're going to baptize. We believe, so we're going to make disciples. We believe, we believe, we believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are awesome and we love you. God, we love you so much. Thank you for entrusting us with this amazing work. God, we get up every morning. God, we know that we're following Jesus. God, we don't have to worry about what we're going to do today, what we're going to say today, because you are with us always. And it is such an honor and a privilege to know that we've got a life worth living because of Jesus, that we're saved because of Jesus, we're going to heaven because of Jesus, and in the meantime, we are going to do all we can to accomplish the greatest mission of all, the mission of Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.